all been there at some point. We are searching for something critical in our business, maybe information on how to optimize a pay-per-click campaign or how to write an ideal blog post or something simple like that. And we get compelled to join a webinar. You know, we find an authority who gives us perhaps a free giveaway and then says, hey, look, come and join my webinar. Come see what I've got to offer you. So we sign up for this webinar. We then receive 5 emails in 24 hours. You know, I had one recently that had subject title test. I thought, well, it's obviously not a test. This is the real email, but apparently that gets a high open rate. And then the second email was also subject title test. Emails 3, 4, and 5 were subject title urgent. Really urgent. You know, read these 3 emails and make sure you're on time. Get the webinar 7:45 in the evening because it starts 7:45. Well, of course, the webinar didn't start 7:45. It actually started at 8:00. You know, so I got there 7:45 and did nothing for 15 minutes whilst apparently waiting for everyone to join on. And then the moment 8:00 came around, the host joined and was like, hey guys, yeah, we got 2,000 people trying to get onto this 1,000 capacity webinar. If you're on this, you're really lucky because you're one of the few who managed to actually get on. There's just such a huge demand for this. And at the end of the webinar, there was, there's Q&A, and I actually asked a couple of questions which didn't get answered. And I thought, this guy has somewhat abused my trust a little bit multiple times. I'm starting to wonder if this is actually a live webinar at all. There was a time actually when I went on a webinar which was pitched as a live webinar, but when I then got on it, it wasn't a live webinar at all, and the guy actually came clean and said, like, oh, I know I said this was going to be a live webinar, it's not, but just try to understand that, you know, if I'm to give the most value to you, I've got to use the power of leverage. And I was like, well, that's all fine, but you lied to me. Do you know what I mean? So not necessarily the best starting point for starting a relationship for those who are wise to the ways and have perhaps experienced these things before and realize that if someone's prepared to do that to you, it doesn't always bode well for the subsequent relationship. There's a book called Influence by Robert Cialdini. It's a bit of a classic. You've probably heard of it, if not read it. And the purpose of that book is really twofold. It's on one hand, a marketer's aid. So it is there to help you with marketing, with things like social proof and scarcity. At no point does it say to lie about scarcity, pretend that something's scarce when it isn't. Because let's be honest, there's no limit to how many people you can get on a webinar. You know, we're dealing with electronic technology here. You know, it's not like you've only got 1,000 seats in a room. You know, this is an online thing. The other purpose of that book is to arm you, to equip you, to spot and recognize and appropriately deal with these kinds of tactics when they are employed on you. And so it's really about overcoming what he calls the click whir mechanism, the automatic response to engage the neocortex and realize what's going on and do what's ultimately best for you. Well, at the end of the webinar, there was a question posed, which was, do you want to buy my product for $497? Or do you want to be unsuccessful for the rest of your life? Now, it's called the tier coffee close. It's a complete false dichotomy. Obviously, neither of those options. Thank you very much. But, you know, you're forced to kind of pick one. And so at that point, I just thought, you know, this is bullshit. I'm sorry, man. This is the last person I want to do business with, right? So in today's video, I'm just going to be highlighting a change that I think is occurring, thank God, in our world, in the minds of consumers and intelligent marketers, and also those who want to live with integrity, live life first, and embody a life of authenticity. And I think if you tune into this change, you end up gonna make more money anyway as a result of capitalizing on what's actually changing. It just so happens that if you want to live a good life, this is something you probably want to be doing anyway, regardless of the times. What's happening? Well, there's really three factors at play, I think, that are sort of, I would hope, bringing this sort of marketing, at least in the mainstream, to an end. The first is that simply that consumer demands are changing, in the sense that trust is a finite resource. You know, there's only so many emails marked urgent that you can send that aren't actually urgent before it stops working, before a customer goes, you know what, this urgent heading means nothing to me anymore. Hence why marketing tactics always evolve. You know, this is the same sort of thing we've seen happening in TV and radio advertising. It's less specific, people aren't interested anymore, you're interrupting their entertainment, and as a result, the effectiveness of blanket marketing has gone down, and the effectiveness of targeted marketing has gone up. In fact, it's become more a thing, you know, it's just more of an option to use targeted marketing. The second factor at play here is that I think there's just more information out there. There's more intel. People are getting smarter. They're more discerning. They want to know what it is they're buying. They want to understand the function of things more relative to just how it simply makes them feel. And of course, all these tactics, they rely on emotional things that really play with the way you feel, perhaps in a deceitful way, but they're not simply conveying information. So people are becoming just more smart. You know, they want to know what the thing's going to do for them, and they make more logical decisions. I mean, people always make emotional decisions, but they back it up more now with logic and intelligence. And the third factor is that there's just so many more niches out there. This effect called the long tail, you know, there's a niche for everything and growing. You know, the long tail is just getting really, 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 really long, and there's nowhere really to hide anymore. You know, if you want to sell a course on how to do equestrian Tai Chi, believe me, one does exist, you've got quite a limited customer base, right? And so you can't really so much easily hide behind this veil of deception anymore, because there's only so many customers out there, and those that are your customers are more targeted. And in my own business, I've seen the effects of this as well. So a couple of years ago, even, I was trying to be more scientific than my competitors. So I sell supplements, you know, I sell food supplements, and I was more about sort of saying what this product does and saying how it works in the body and that sort of thing, and just being a bit more useful in terms of the value I provide. And at the same time, the competitors were largely of the kind of sort of promising the world, and it can be really tempting to do that, to say, you know, if you take this product, it's going to make your hair grow like crazy, and look, here are the case studies that back it up and all that sort of thing. It's really tempting to say that, to promise that, and just take that business, just take it whilst you can, you know, like really close them down now. They often don't consider the flip side though, which is that if you really want a good kind of customer that knows their stuff and will be a good customer to deal with generally, will be a reasonable customer and won't be expecting a magical drug, right? Well, that's not the way to go about it, because you're promising more than what the product does. You're over-promising, really. And on the other hand, you know, if you want repeat business, well, clearly your product's got to deliver some kind of value if you want repeat business. Thirdly, why not give value for its own sake? Because giving value is not just how we grow a business, it's also how we feel good about our role in the world, right? And so I've definitely seen a change here. I mean, my company's grown, and we actually ask customers for feedback, and very frequently, you know, we get the response saying, well, what I liked about your product was that it seemed open, transparent, I knew what was in it, I was very clear about how it worked and what it was going to do for me, and that sort of thing. So, and on the theme of adding value as well, one of the things I do is that I've got a set of autoresponder follow-ups. So when they buy a product, they get an email, depending on what product they bought, they get an email that tells them all about it, how to use it, how I personally use it, what they can expect from it, that sort of thing. It talks about real results that I've achieved whilst taking the products, and measurable results. And again, that's such an easy thing for me to do, you know, writing an email for each product, maybe, you know, 15 minutes per email or something. But we're talking hundreds of these things getting automatically sent out every day, and people really appreciate it. It's probably one of the easiest, quickest ways of adding value that I've ever actually done. You know, it's happening as we speak, people are getting this information. And it was only, you know, half a day's work, not even that. Sort of like 6 months ago. So talk about adding value, right? So this is kind of one of the subtle changes that can happen, or has some of the big impact of a subtle shift in mindset, which is rather than just take, how can I necessarily make the most money and use that as your primary means? Think about how can I contribute the most value? And that will actually help you make money more in the long term, which is kind of ironic. But ultimately, what was I saying? It's just a better way to go about doing business. It's more effective in the long term. So really, I think there's kind of two trends we're seeing here. There's the fact that the effectiveness of deceptive marketing is going down, you know, and meanwhile, the desire to live authentically and to contribute value is going up. Right now, applying some honesty in your marketing and using that as your differentiator is still somewhat original. It's still going to make you stand out. And it takes balls, you know, it takes balls when everyone else is promising the world for you to not be quite so overt. And I'll tell you what, it's more of a pull approach than a push approach, but it is working, you know, and I'm seeing this, the results of this in my own business. You know, people really appreciate it. And right now it's original. I do think that going forward, this may well start to become the norm. So just as a little call to action today, guys, just have a think about if you were to start doing this, or if you were to do more of this and just think, I'm going to make honesty a USP in my business. I'm going to make honesty a differentiator that puts me apart from the competition. What would be the impact on your business? What do you think the impact on the business would be? Maybe try it out. Anyway, on that note, I am going to read you a blog post from Seth Godin. That was basically the core of my video today, but today's blog post from Seth, he's an excellent blogger, one of my favorite authors, and he blogs every day. You should really totally sign up to his blog if you haven't done already. Really on the ball, this guy, and he's definitely one of the good guys. So here we go. It's called Open or Closed. Culture moves in two ways, open and closed. If you're a teacher, in business, a politician, a parent, a leader, an oligarch, a media mogul, an oil baron, a salesperson, or a marketer, you need to make a choice. A choice that will alter how you work with others and the investments you make in our culture and your craft. Do you benefit from a population that's smarter, faster, and more connected than it used to be? Do you prefer transparency? Either you're riding the tide or pushing against it. Are you hoping that those you serve become more informed or less informed? Are you working to give people more autonomy or less? Do you want them to work to seek the truth or to be clouded in disbelief and confusion? Is it better if they're connected to one another or disconnected? More confidence or more fear? Outspoken in the face of injustice or silent? More independent or less? Difficult to control or easier? More science or more obedience? It's pretty clear there are forces on both sides, individuals and organisations that are working for open and those that seek to keep things closed instead. Take a side.